Hey there. Welcome to the Pelvis Project podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Roxy. We're two pelvic health experts brought together by passion for our careers, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and the desire for intentional relationships.
Join us in our mission to spread pelvic floor awareness and start conversations surrounding the truth behind genuine health, imperfect wellness, and joyfully navigating life. We are so glad you are here with us.
Let's start the conversation.
Hello, Roxy.
Hi, Megan.
Listen, everybody, we are recording this on a Monday evening. Roxy and I are feeling a little spicy tonight. It's been a Monday. We are excited to have an episode of her and I just chit-chatting.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we've had some pretty bomb interviews lately. And so
we sure have. It's been so fun, and we can't wait to line up some more individuals to have on the podcast. But today's episode, you get both of us, and we might do a series of these type of episodes. You can probably bet your bottom dollar we will, on myth busting. I recently did a little like girl talk event, and that was going to be my topic. And I think we probably got to like one myth because there's so many of them and there's so much to talk about. So, Roxy, why don't you tell our listeners what myth we are going to discuss tonight?
We are talking about pelvic floor tightness and the myth that exists around tightness and the idea that the tighter, the better.
Yes. And we hear this. I think that there's a lot of pressure that surrounds women postpartum that we need to get their pelvic floor quote unquote tight again, or and whatever that means to somebody. And we are here tonight to let everybody know that the important thing about your pelvic floor is that it is functional and mobile. And yes, you can have some laxity there and that can be addressed. But what we're talking about is this feeling of you need to be doing constant Kegels and focus.
Strengthening.
Yes. And that is going to solve all your problems. So we're going to kind of break this down. We might go down some rabbit holes, but stay with us. So hopefully you can get some good pearl takeaways on this. So first, if you have a pelvic floor that is quote unquote too tight, or what we refer to as hypertonic, that can be something that can lead to things like painful intercourse, constipation, those sorts of symptoms that you might notice. And so I think in that, pointing out the fact that this is something that recently came up in my clinic, if you are having whatever pelvic floor symptoms, and you're being seen multiple sessions, and an internal exam is something you want. Okay, so let's just like caveat here. If you don't want a pelvic floor assessment, that is your choice and perfectly fine. But let's talk about the person who goes to pelvic floor therapy, and that's what they're kind of expecting. And they go for like 4, 5, 6 visits, and it kind of keeps getting pushed off like, oh, we don't need to, like, let's just, and you're being given Kegels to do, and you have
symptoms. And there's no progress.
No progress. Doing Kegels till the cows come home. You're having pain with intercourse. You're feeling like you have prolapse, which, okay, maybe like someone's thinking you might need to tighten. And then finally, you get your pelvic floor exam after multiple visits of doing isolated non-functional strengthening, and lo and behold, your pelvic floor muscles have too much tension in them, which tells us right there, like, all that time that you just spent in therapy, the therapist was not meaning to do harm, but all of that is just going to contribute to more tightness, more dysfunction, because your muscles already cannot contract, relax the way that they are designed to. And so with that, it really gets us fired up when we hear people that have these symptoms that align with what we hear and think to ourselves, huh, I wonder if this pelvic floor is not able to contract, relax like it should. When we hear these types of stories that they're just given strengthening, 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 and there's no improvement and there's no internal assessment, that's where we start to get a huge piece is missed. So that's number, like when we really, when I hear the word pelvic floor tightness or like, I want to be like, I want to make sure my pelvic floor is tight. That's not always what we need to be doing. We need to be looking at its full function, because a tight pelvic floor doesn't necessarily mean a functional or coordinated pelvic floor. And that's what we need for our systems to all function the way they should, is a coordinated pelvic floor. So I kind of went off on that, but Roxy.
Yeah. And I would add to that, that a lot of times a tight pelvic floor does appear weak. So you mentioned painful intercourse, you mentioned constipation, but I have a lot of people that are leaking, whether it's stress incontinence, like they leak when they cough or sneeze, they're trying to reach the bathroom and they're leaking. And so they come in and they're on our intake. I always add, like, one of the questions is, what are your goals? And it, you know, 9 times out of 10 with these people, it's strengthen my pelvic floor or be stronger or whatever. And so I think that can be really confusing. You know, we see a symptom that without thorough evaluation, without a trained eye, without expertise in this field, appears rightfully so. And so then the assumption is to strengthen and to tighten, and that it's loose and that it's, you know, it's, you know, insufficient. And it is, it's just, there's two types of insufficient. There's a passive insufficiency and there's an active insufficiency. And passive just means like it can't squeeze. And active means that it's too tight and it can't squeeze. And so anyway, that's something lately I've just really come up, man, I have a couple fellas right now that I just think don't know what I'm talking about. And that's fine. Like, I'm doing my best to relay this message, but it's this idea where they're like, but I'm leaking, you know? And it's like, I know, you know? And so anyway, that's been kind of on my plate of this whole tightness feeling. I know we're talking a little more like vaginally, but still, if we're looking at symptoms and dysfunction, then there's just this assumption that if it looks weak, it has to be weak. And that's not the case.
Right. And with that too, if we think about diagnosis like prolapse, if you haven't had your prolapse assessed necessarily in standing different positions too, there can be some misleading type of findings. And also with that, you can have some tightness there. And it actually causes a sensation of a pulling down effect, which could potentially be making that prolapse worse and or make you feel like you have one when actually maybe your grade of prolapse is very minor. So again, having a trained eye and a therapist that you're seeing that is going to look at all the different contributing factors and not just musculoskeletal, but all the different systems is really what it takes to be able to, then when we talk about finding root cause, when we talk about that kind of stuff, that's what we're talking about when we refer to that. And like our body is so cool. And that's why we're passionate about what we do, because there really can be some misleading findings unless you know what you're looking for and you're looking outside of the box and you've had kind of this, like these different approaches with training. So that's one thing. Goodness, I got so excited listening to you, Roxy. There's something else you said. And I was like, oh, I know what it was. The other one is, this is so cool. When you talk about pelvic floor tension or tightness and leaking, now we know that sometimes when there's that pelvic floor tightness in the muscles and it causes a restriction through the nerves, if you will, or compression through the nerves, those nerves that innervate our sphincter muscles cannot function the way they're supposed to. Therefore, you might have more leaking. And so as we're working together in pelvic floor therapy to improve the function of the muscle, the nerve starts to function better. Therefore, leaking starts to get better.
Yeah, we have to have that message. The message has to be received. And if the pelvic floor is too tight and like Megan said, it's pinching off, nerves just want movement, blood flow, and space.
Yes.
And if they don't have those because the tight pelvic floor is pinching and clamping down on them, then the message from your brain is leaving your brain, but it's not reaching the bladder. It's getting stopped up where it's pinching that nerve.
And so with that, then boy, that is a whole nother conversation of, okay, well, how do we treat this tightness? Because it does go beyond just simply working just at the pelvis. And so that's a whole nother episode and a whole nother thing. And we would love to chat about that, you know, another time or all day long, or send us a message, because there is, goodness, so many things we can do to treat pelvic floor when we know we have this muscle tension. So, okay, Roxy, let's talk about one of my, I always get fired up about this. This is why we highly recommend these devices that are being pushed. You insert in the vaginal canal. It's supposed to tighten the tissue, tighten your pelvic floor. Here we have this tightening word again. Well, if you are not having a pelvic floor assessment ahead of time to see why it is they sell these products or they push these products, because they say, are you having urinary incontinence? Are you, you'll have, you know, better sex, your leaking will be better, all this kind of stuff. But if there's not an assessment from, again, a trained eye who knows how to assess the function and coordination and tone of a pelvic floor, also in conjunction with the breath system and the pressure system, you could go pay thousands of dollars to have this device inserted to maybe have like a change very briefly. But if it's all a pressure management thing and all you have to do is come in for a couple of visits for us to identify what that problem is and boom, that is solved, that's pretty darn amazing that we can offer that in pelvic floor therapy. And you don't have to have a device that is inserted that you go in and do. And they claim it's like doing hundreds of Kegels within an hour. Well, that's so outrageous, because we never give Kegels. So
yeah, I have a little bit of beef with this right now. And so hundreds and hundreds of Kegels, for one, that doesn't sound exciting to me. I'll just throw that out there on a personal note. But also, I have to go back to, every time someone is stuck on Kegels, which is whatever, if someone wants to do Kegels and they don't think I'm going to help them, I can't be the arbiter of what they're going to do, right?
Well, we'll pause on this and let's just say, we do not want to villainize Kegels, because there is a time and a place to teach somebody how to coordinate a contraction and a relaxation. Most of the time, if we ever have somebody doing that, it's because we're retraining them how to even find those muscles.
And how to be aware.
Yeah. What we're talking about here is literally somebody being sent home with, I want you to do 20 Kegels, 5 sets, and I want you to do that 3 times a day. Like that is not going to do anything. So anyway, that's our little caveat.
Yeah. And basically, if that's the route we take, then we have to do that the rest of our life, because we're not treating the root cause. We're not treating the tightness, right? But if you think about it, when we were little kids running around and playing, once we learned, like to potty train, we only had to learn the sensation and what that sensation meant then, and then our body worked, right? Never once do we teach our kids Kegels. Never do we have them like, oh, this is your core, this is your pelvic floor, da, 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 right? We have to come back in and remind our body how to work when it's derailed. So why wouldn't we approach it like that again as adults and say, wow, our body did this one time. Whatever derailed it, maybe it was pregnancy, maybe it's chronic pain, maybe, you know, there's something, you know, a lot of UTIs, I don't know, whatever your song and dance is for what got you where you are, that is a result of your body not functioning the way it was created to function. And so if we coordinate, if we can help your body, all the pieces work together, and we decrease the tension and the tightness there, then guess what? It works. It works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I just get kind of salty about these chairs, these devices, these anything that people are tooting the horn to go and get your 1,000 Kegels in 30 minutes or whatever it is. It's like, cool. Like if that's helping someone, great. But I'd love to see long-term studies on that. Yeah, right away, there's some little bit of results there. Of course, it's stimulating the blood flow, doing whatever. But long-term, like it's not sustainable unless you're going to keep doing it. And that's probably where the money is. Like, it's probably what's going on here.
Right. And, you know, when it's like, when it speaks into like, oh, these FDA, it's FDA approved, all this stuff. Basically, that's just saying that like, it's not going to harm you, because it's not going to harm you. But if you're really looking for root cause and you're looking for actually fixing the problem and actually potentially saving quite a bit of money, because doing those sessions are not cheap. And Roxy, I think you could probably talk into this too. The amount of people that we see, now this isn't necessarily everybody, but I have had individuals that dealt with urinary issues for years. And we come in and we do a good assessment. We start them on a few things. I mean, by third visit, they're coming in and they're like, wow, I cannot believe that it only took XYZ and I haven't leaked since the last time I saw you. Now, that's step one, is changing the symptom. Then after that, we reload the system to see, okay, so we don't want to cut it off too soon, because that's just this, like, it's one thing when we start to see change. It's another thing when we want to see lasting change, load the system and make sure that it tolerates everything okay. And that's right there. It's like, goodness, we're getting the pelvic floor back to functioning the way that it should. And so that takes away that whole, am I loose and am I tight? Because we have people all the time that have weak, quote unquote, weak pelvic floors that don't leak urine, and quote unquote, strong pelvic floors that do leak urine. And there's, again, so many things that go into what can be causing that when we think about nervous system, hormones, like all of that. And that's, again, where this whole finding yourself a pelvic floor therapist that's really going to look at different systems, that is approached this holistically, integratively, knowing where their limits are, knowing when they need to refer out because they're noticing some things that maybe we need to be talking to the doctor about some hormone stuff. Maybe we need to talk to somebody a little bit deeper about lab work because of thyroid or stuff like that. Oh, it's just so cool.
Yeah. I want to go back to the I just am stuck on this.
Yes, man, go.
Okay, no, let me just go back to the FDA. All right.
Yes.
Lots of things are FDA approved, right?
I know. Thank you.
For the right things, right? And so, like, a drug might be FDA approved, but if you take it out of context and you take it when you don't have the symptoms, or you're taking it with something else that's not how it's labeled recommendation, right? Like, then it's not going to be good. And so I guess I just keep thinking that of like, yeah, the FDA approves all sorts of things, but you wouldn't just be like, oh, well, this prescription drug is FDA approved. Let's try it and see. I don't know if that's my problem. Like, we wouldn't do that.
Right. Right.
But not do that. Doctors would lose their licenses if they did that. And so that's where these devices, we can actually compare that the same way of saying, yes, it's FDA approved for someone who needs that, you know? And so it's not going to like harm you, but it might make your symptoms worse or stay the same. Like, so is that harmful? Yes or no? I'm sure in some like court, it could hold up. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to damage your pelvis, but it's not going to.
People get, you get desperate because you're like, okay, I'm leaking. I don't want to leak anymore. And well-intentioned providers, oh, I have a device. Like, I can help you avoid pelvic floor physical therapy. Okay, that right there to me is one of the biggest red flags, because I think that as women, we all have some sort of pelvic floor assessment at some point in our lifetime, rather it's postpartum, premenopausal, menopausal, like we need to know what our pelvic floor is doing. So if someone's selling something to you and says, this will make you avoid pelvic floor physical therapy, I think my question would be like, why would you want to? Like, why would you want to avoid getting one of the most valuable assessments that a woman could have? That right there gets me going. And then I would say to that, okay, let's just say, all right, maybe that's what you want to do. And hello, if anybody's ever out listening and have done this, like, you're fine. It's fine. We're just saying, like,
well, there's busy seasons in life. There's lots. Yes. Sometimes it's not good timing. It's whatever.
Yes. But here's the thing. I will just say, if that's what you choose to do, again, your choice, everybody's different. I would make sure and have the conversation of, if they're not asking questions like, do you have painful sex? If you have pain with intercourse, that is not a device to be using. If you have constipation, that is not a device to be using. And constipation, if you're like, oh, yeah, well, that's just been me all my life. That's not going to change. That would be something I would definitely caution on. So I think that's where the beef comes from, is just, are we providing good screening tools before we are offering these devices? Because what is presented online and what we are seeing is that it's not, it's just claiming everything that it can do. And there's not like a, you know, asterisk around it that says it can do this, but we need to make sure that you're not having all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
Just some red flags. Like, I think, and you know, I appreciate you saying that, like, if that's not what you want, that's fine too. And that's just it. There is some seasons in life. There's some times where it's like, I don't really have time for this. I just want a quick fix. And that's fine. Like, you can own it. You can, you know, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
But just know that there are options to actually find the, like, to look at you for more than your symptom, to look at you. And more often than not, when we correct these symptoms, you're going to see the fruit of that in other areas too, whether that's energy, whether that's the constipation that you thought was just you, you know, or, you know, just a lot of other things of just saying, oh, wow, I didn't realize that that was impacting me in more ways than one, or I don't have to worry about where the bathroom is when I go out in public now, or just silly things like that, that we just take for granted.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mental fatigue that goes into these symptoms too. And so don't undervalue what that could mean for you, to not just get rid of the symptoms, but then to get rid of the mental load or these symptoms that are less evident because that one symptom is trumping you, you know, or that one dysfunction is the main one. There's almost always people are saying, oh, and this is better too. Oh, and I'm not doing this either. Oh, and
right.
And it's like the list goes on when we correct the whole person instead of try to tighten.
Right. Well, and with that, maybe we can use this as a wrap up. And I'm sure, Roxy, you see this too. Women come in to see us. Well, men too. They come in one way and they walk out a completely different person. And it is so cool because now they are so empowered and they know their body and they listen to their body better. And we're talking not just pelvic floor related, stress related, anxiety related, so many things. So you come in one way, you leave the other. And the other thing too, and I love this when it happens, is when women come in because of whatever reason and don't even bring up orgasm, and they are there and they say, by the way, my orgasms are better than they've ever been. That right there is like mic drop, boom, because we got the pelvic floor to function better. You know, like, we're not dealing with all this tension. Now it has all this range of motion. It's getting better nerve innervation. You know your body better. Oh,
you're more comfortable.
Yes. So there you have it.
I mean, who knew? We went from tightness to orgasm.
I know.
How do we top that?
everywhere in between. I think we can leave it at that. Okay. So listen, we would really love it if you guys could rate our podcast, share our podcast.
Ask us questions. We're an open book.
Ask us questions. Send us a DM. Post on our Instagram. And we're just excited to continue with this and keep the conversation going. And looking forward to our next episode.
See you later.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Pelvis Project podcast. Help us continue the conversation by liking and sharing this episode with friends. And if you really want to do us a solid, leave us a review. If you'd like to follow us on social, check out the show notes for links. And remember, this week, take a deep breath and relax your pelvic floor.